We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to the Phoenix Sports Podcast, presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a five-star review wherever you are listening to this as a podcast. Happy Friday, everybody. What's up? It's your girl. It's Michaela.
DJ Mackie P.
DJ Mackie P on the B and Sean Paz. We are kind of beside ourselves. We have so
much
to talk about.
There's a lot going on, like really fast. I don't know where I am. I don't know what's happening.
So many things are happening. I don't know what day of the week it is. Actually, just kidding. It's Friday because it's TPSP Friday.
It's Friday,
yeah, there's a lot happening in the sports landscape right now. Some breaking news we got to get into that has potential Suns implications, some coaching implications. It's going to get crazy. So buckle in, grab a Four Peaks beer, and get ready for this show. Speaking of our friends at Four Peaks, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm obsessed with Four Peaks. It is the best beer to drink in the state of Arizona and beyond, honestly. They have just released two new flavors, their Recreational Juice Dank IPA and their Staycation Super Juicy IPA. I have had both, and Sean, let me tell you,
And you're an IPA aficionado, so.
I am. I come from the microbrewery capital of the world, which is Colorado, so obviously I know what I'm talking about when I am talking about IPAs, and theirs are superior. The big game is also around the corner. Mm-hmm. The Super Bowl is knocking on our doorstep.
Literally, it's fucking right there.
It's right there.
There's a giant ad on our building.
Yeah, there's literally a big sticker on our building. So there's no better time to enjoy a beer than for the Super Bowl, and make sure it's a Four Peaks beer because football and Four Peaks go together like
Sean and Mac.
Great job. There we go.
Or
love
Mac
that for us. Also want to give a shout out to our friends at Mountain Mike's Pizza. They brought in some delicious pizza to the office on Tuesday, and it was so good. The pepperoni pizza, I know it sounds basic, but the best pepperoni pizza on the face of the planet.
Dude, I have a little bit of beef with Mountain Mike's, to be quite honest with you, because normally they pull through on Monday. They came through on Tuesday this week.
That was Max's fault. That was not Mountain Mike's fault.
No, I know. So my beef with Mountain Mike's is that it is good. And so I worked from home on Tuesday when they brought it. Oof. So I didn't get any Mountain Mike's this week. And I'm upset because if this was fucking Pizza Hut or something like that, I wouldn't give a shit. But it's good pizza, so I'm upset when I miss it.
Well, if you want some of this good pizza we're talking about, definitely check out their locations in Mesa, Chandler, or even Tucson. They also have some lunch buffets going on, and you can head over to mountainmikespizza.com or their Mesa and Chandler, Tucson locations to place your next order. Reminder, new diehards that sign up get a $50 voucher upon signing up.
That's a lot of pizza.
So become a diehard while you're at it.
Right now would be the perfect time. Get $50 worth of free pizza for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, hello.
Come on now.
And some Four Peaks beer. Mountain Mike's Pizza and some Four Peaks. Let's go. All right. Sean, we got to get into some highs and lows because this week has been an absolute whirlwind of a week. I've been so happy and I've been so depressed.
I've been so happy and so depressed.
At the same time.
At the same time.
It's good thing I'm on meds. Just kidding.
that's only something that
Phoenix Sports could do to you is it's being true. Happy and sad
Phoenix
all at
Sports
once.
Phoenix Sports is a drug. It's like being addicted to a drug.
It's
that's
a narcotic.
Bad for you.
I say this all the time. Like sometimes, like there's other fan bases. Like if I was an Atlanta sports fan, Bomani Jones says he swore that narcotic off because it's just not good for you.
Yeah,
it's that's what fandom is.
Yeah, Phoenix Sports keeps you on the drug though, because things keep happening that are like, maybe I should be reinvested in it. And this is one of those things. Just about 20 minutes ago, we got some breaking news from Woj.
Oh boy.
Big old Woj bomb. Kyrie Irving has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. Can't say that I'm surprised, because obviously the relationship between Kyrie and the Nets have been deteriorating for some time now. Obviously, there was a lot of that offseason drama where he made his grievances well known. Then he was suspended earlier this season for some comments that he made for around 8 games. It was very public, very messy. So Kyrie and the Nets aren't necessarily in love with one another.
No, but this is a guy that flip-flops all the time, so I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, this is a man that got on a microphone in front of a packed TD Garden and told Celtics fans that he was re-signing in the offseason and then didn't.
Yeah.
And a man who requested a trade and then said he didn't want one. And now he's requesting another trade. I'll believe it when I see it, whatever jersey he ends up in. But yeah, man. Ooh, he can't help but think about what he might look like in a purple sunburst.
It's an interesting time. Obviously, we're right before the trade deadline coming up next week. So he has made it pretty known that he wants out. He also has made it known that he will not be resigning. He is due to be a free agent in this offseason. So I'm pretty sure the Nets have lost this battle, which is interesting because they, as of Friday, are 31-20, and they're definitely in the playoff picture for the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
They've been struggling a little bit, obviously, because KD has that MCL sprain. But, I mean, they're still in the playoff hunt. It's not like things are catastrophically bad with the Nets right now. Like, they're doing pretty well, all things considered. They're definitely in the playoff hunt. But Kyrie has still said, hard line in the sand, get me out of here. I want to be gone. Obviously, since he is due to be a free agent, we were anticipating that maybe the Nets would come to another agreement with him, a long-term deal worth a ton of money. Obviously, that hasn't happened, which is probably why Kyrie is not necessarily the happiest with this organization at the moment. So a line has been drawn, Sean, and the trade deadline is almost here, and Matt Ishbia is due to take control of this team before that happens. So let me ask you, Sean, with Kyrie averaging just above 27 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds this season, is that enough to entice you to want to have Kyrie in a Suns uniform?
Yes. He's a top 3 point guard in NBA history. Yes, I want Kyrie in a Suns uniform. It's interesting from a Nets perspective, because even though they know he won't re-sign in the offseason, there's a team that could still win the NBA Finals. Like, do you take that risk and just hold on to him, knowing you're not going to get him back in the hopes that you win an NBA Finals? Interesting.
The Nets are in a tough spot because they are still in the playoff picture. Yes. And even though, like you said, like, do they just cut their losses and keep Kyrie and say, sorry, you're stuck here, like, help us try to win a title? Or do they let him go because they're not going to get anything for him in the offseason?
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously this is stuff that would get discussed, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, if any team that trades for him, they have to live with the possibility that he doesn't re-sign in the offseason anyways. Mm-hmm. So if the Suns were to trade for him, there's a very good chance that he would re-sign here, but you're doing that. If you're trading for Kyrie, you're doing it in the hopes that you win an NBA championship this year.
It's all or nothing at that point. Yeah, if you're trading for Kyrie near the Phoenix Suns, it's because this is your, like, Hail Mary to winning a championship.
Yeah, so it's a very interesting situation. But look, I know Kyrie is Kyrie Irving. He's problematic in a lot of ways. All of that stuff.
Just a few.
the reality of the situation is that he's going to be playing basketball, whether you like it or not. He's going to be playing basketball on an NBA team somewhere. Just from a purely basketball perspective, you cannot deny that this would elevate the Suns from very much so and put them in that conversation as one of the best teams in the NBA, at least on paper, especially once they're fully healthy. It'd be really hard to turn.
But is he worth all of that freaking craziness that comes with Kyrie? Like, there's a lot. Yes, there is a lot of drama with KD. Kyrie. Kyrie.
He is worth it, though. I mean, he is so good at the sport of basketball. Like I said, I think he's a top 3 point guard in NBA history. He is. When you get an opportunity to get a player like that on your team, when you seem like you may just be one single piece away from being an NBA champion.
Yeah.
it's really, really hard to turn that down. And I don't want to say to Kyrie's credit, but since that suspension, he has been rather low key and quiet up until this point. So
just
hopefully
biding his time until the next crazy.
I mean, yeah, yeah. Wait till the offseason. He's bound to say something crazy. But I don't. Hopefully, he learned from that situation a little bit. It seems like he may have. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. It's really hard.
I don't have the same confidence that you have.
No, I just listen. If he is a son, you just have to hope that he has learned and he is a better person. I don't know. There is, I like that. Even the chat's conflicted, right? Like,
yeah.
There is a lot of reasons to not want him, especially on a team. If this was last year's Suns team, I don't know, because the vibes there were so just immaculate. Everyone seemed like to be on on such a good page. You inject someone like Kyrie into it, it has a potential to blow that up.
Yeah.
You can't say that about this year's Suns team. The vibes have not been as perfect as they were last year. So it's a little less of a risk from that perspective. I just, like I said, if you get a chance to get a guy like Kyrie in a Suns uniform, you have to take it, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, the comments are very conflicted. Jan Paul Edward De Dios saying he wants him to go to the Mavs to destroy that team from the inside.
Hey, not a bad
Ryan
idea.
In the comments saying, I hope this means KD to the Suns. Tizdu saying, anyone who doesn't want Kyrie is a moron. Fact. Colts 23 saying, Kyrie to the Suns, not a bad idea. It's kind of all over the place. Yeah. So I want to ask you, Sean, is it worth it trading for him now and giving up potentially some pieces that you wouldn't have to give up if you waited for him to be a free agent and then made every effort to sign him in the offseason?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely tough, but I think when you, the Suns, their window is open right now. Like I feel like you have to try and go get a trade. They're going to make some, you have to at least, if you're a Suns fan, hope that they're going to make some kind of move at the trade deadline to improve the team. If you have a chance to improve the team with a guy like Kyrie, I feel like you got to do it regardless. Because the thing is like we mentioned, the Nets don't really have any leverage in the situation.
Yeah,
they know he's not re-signing. So mm-hmm. I don't think that any team is really going to give up all that much. Like it's not a KD haul for Kyrie.
Right. Yeah. They have no leverage. Like Kyrie's not coming back. He's done. Like, yeah. So they're not going to get like a massive haul in exchange for trading him, because like every team in the NBA knows that Kyrie's not going back to the Nets. So the Nets have no leverage in this situation.
And I'm not really good at like formulating what a trade package might look like for a guy like this.
Right.
But I mean, if you're
CP3, though, I mean,
that's exactly
if you are
offering me Kyrie Irving in exchange for Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, Dario, like whoever.
Dario.
I think obviously the untouchables are D.A., Devin Booker, Mikhail.
D.A.?
I think so.
D.A.
In this situation, I don't think you should have to give up D.A. for a guy like Kyrie when you know he's not re-signing. If we're talking KD, then absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Bye. I guess that's fair. If it's strictly in this situation and it's only for Kyrie and we know that Kyrie's not re-signing, then fine, keep D.A. But I'm not attached to D.A.
I'm not like that attached to D.A., but I think for this team to still be like well-rounded, you need to hold on to him. I think if you can hold on to him, you have to.
Let's just say hypothetically a trade package for like salaries, everything works out for Kyrie would be CP3, Jay Crowder, and Dario.
Yeah, fucking in a heartbeat.
I'm kind of fine with that.
Yeah, because I mean, listen, Kyrie is not a spry chicken. He's not Cavs.
Spry chicken.
You've never heard that phrase before?
No, I have. I just never thought we would use it in context of Kyrie Irving.
Well, I mean, what I'm trying to say is he's not Cavs Kyrie. He's not young still, but he's damn sure younger than Chris Paul. Like,
true.
For so many reasons. I think it extends your window if you're the Suns.
Yeah. Kyrie is only 30 years old.
It makes you a better team. I think, yeah, you have to pull that trigger. I think anything short of those four untouchables to me, anything else is on the board.
So Muhammad in the comments said something a little interesting that I want to talk about. The Suns aren't a championship contender. Kyrie will want to go to a team with a proven pedigree like the Celtics, Bucks, or Warriors. I have to strongly disagree with this take. I think there's so much parity in the NBA right now. And even though the Suns are seventh in the Western Conference, there's like a game and a half separating them from like seventh or third place. Like they are very much a in this playoff picture. Like, they are a contender. I think people tend to bag on them because they've been injured and we haven't really seen their true potential, which was something else we were going to talk about, a high of Devin Booker potentially coming back on Tuesday, which also happens to be the game that they're playing against the Brooklyn Nets. So a little drama there. But I definitely think the Suns are still in the playoff contention, especially with Booker coming back as early as Tuesday next week.
Yeah.
They've done a fine-ish job of keeping themselves well enough in a good place to still be in playoff contention. But if you've got Devin Booker, Kyrie Irving, and DA and Mikal Bridges on a team, I'm sorry, but...
But you want to talk about a big three, like, that is
who else scares you besides the Nuggets? I think that's a very good team.
Yeah, it's a very good team. And I mean, there's plenty of teams to, like, scare you. Like, the Nuggets are obviously amazing. I think we're in the middle of seeing a top five NBA player all time and what Nikola Jokic has done this year in the last 2 years. Obviously, out east, you have Giannis and the Bucks. You have JT and the Celtics. Like, there's really good teams in the NBA, but I think it's clearly like I think the Suns are in it now when they're fully healthy. Like, they're not as good as those teams. You add Kyrie to the mix, man, that's a good team. That is a really, really good team. The depth, as Colts 23 is mentioning in the chat,
the Suns bench
is definitely a cause, a reason for concern.
Yep. But that's the thing that makes me the most mad about this team is the Suns bench has been a concern since last year and the year before that. Like, how are we still talking about the fact that the Suns bench does not have enough depth in the year of our Lord and Savior 2023 when this has been an issue for years at this point?
Yeah, and I mean, they've tried, right? Like, bringing on a guy like Saban Lee to extend some of that bench depth. And obviously, they've had a lot of injury problems, so they're just now getting back to full strength. But the depth is questionable. Man, as Hans Hagen said in the chat, like, getting that second superstar brings this team to because I love DA. He's not a superstar. Yeah. Devin Booker is a bona fide superstar.
Yeah.
Kyrie is a bona fide superstar.
Yeah.
If they DeAndre Ayton is your third best player, that is a really, really
good team.
Really good. I would argue that DA is probably would be one of the best third best players in the NBA, if not the best. That's a really, really, really good team.
Yeah. Which, after being embarrassed by the Atlanta Hawks this week,
Hawks team is not very good.
I'm ready to sell the farm to make sure that we don't get embarrassed by any team as the same caliber as the Atlanta Hawks again this year. But I'm hesitant to get excited about this because I got so excited about KD to the Suns in the offseason. And there has been so much uncertainty surrounding this team, especially with the Robert Sarver, Matt Ishbia transition and all the other things that have gone on in between now and then. And I just, like, I'm not going to get my hopes up on this one. I'm not ready to fully commit my heart into the idea of this happening. I just think it's very interesting that, of course, this happens right before the trade deadline. Yeah. The new owner is set to take over. The Suns, I hope the Suns see that they need someone like Kyrie to get to the point where they need to go, because I'm so tired of knocking on the doorstep of a championship and getting it closed in our face. Like, watching them lose to the Bucks, heartbreaking. Watching them get embarrassed by the Mavs last year in the playoffs, heartbreaking. Like, I'm tired of that. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've always disagreed on with people is, like, last year, people were banging down the door saying that this team is enough. Like, the roster as it was is enough to win a championship. And they hardly made any changes from their finals run 2 years ago to last season. And I never believed that. I'm sorry, but, like, on paper, maybe, but I just don't see the way that the team was constructed last year or the year before that good enough to win at that caliber. And so I think they need someone like Kyrie or like KD, if we want to go down that path again, to really compete and win a championship. Like, getting deep in the playoffs is one thing, but winning the championship is a completely different thing. And the roster that the Suns have built in the past 2 years is very good. Don't get me wrong. Like, it is a good roster, but it's not enough to win a championship. And they need another superstar on this roster.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely need another guy that can go get himself a bucket. And I mean, this is a big shot taker. Just look at what he did in the finals when he was with the Cavs. Like, there's a guy who you could trust to be clutch too, which I think is kind of an invaluable part of this. And I mean, like, there's no reason to believe that he will come to the Suns. Like, there's a lot of teams that would like Kyrie.
Yes,
people in the chat are mentioning the Lakers, and obviously him and LeBron have an interesting relationship that I think is good now. They've been talked about getting rid of Russell Westbrook. It'd be really interesting to see, like, from just a pure NBA perspective, like that would be fascinating. Someone mentioned him on the Pelicans, him and Zion.
That'd
two Duke boys, oh my,
that, would,
like, that could be a problem. So there's a lot of teams that could would be really, really elevated by Kyrie. So it's by no means like a foregone conclusion that the Suns are a front runner or anything like that.
Right.
But it is a fit that makes sense in a lot of ways, and I think it would make
especially what we were mentioning
better.
With the Nets having diminishing leverage, knowing that Kyrie is not coming back no matter what. Like, it seems like the perfect time, if you will, to strike and make a move like that. One hypothetical I want to play. Now, hang on here.
Oh boy.
This is just a hypothetical. Nobody come for me and say that I'm a delusional Suns fan.
Uh-oh.
I already know that I am. It's fine. You don't need to call me out on it. Let's just say, right, in a crazy, crazy world, like crazy world. So obviously, you know, KD is playing for the Nets because he wanted to play with Kyrie. Yep. So KD and Kyrie went together because they wanted to play together. So now that Kyrie wants out, and it's very obvious he wants out, what reason does KD have to say? Now, I know he's a little bit older. He's a little injury prone. He does have an MCL sprain right now, so it's not necessarily an ideal situation. But why does KD want to stay now? Why does KD want to stay with the Nets?
Oh, I doubt he does.
Is KD an option now to leave? It's just so hard because the Nets are in the playoff picture. Like, they're 31-20. Like, why would the Nets self-farm at this point, I guess, is a question. But let's just talk all hypotheticals, throw everything out there. What would you do if KD and Kyrie were like, you know what? I like Sun. Let's go to the Phoenix Suns.
Everybody but Devin Booker. Everybody but Devin Booker. Just have enjoy your walk up in Brooklyn. Weather is really nice over the summer. You'll have a lot of fun, a lot of real nice stuff to do in New York City. But good riddance. You could trade me. I'll go to Brooklyn. Kyrie, come. KD, Kyrie can host this show. That's probably a really bad idea, actually.
Yeah, let's not give Kyrie a microphone.
We did
please.
Not put a microphone in front of Kyrie Irving. But yeah, no. Are you kidding me? That's not even. Well, I want to say it's not even a question, but also those two have been playing together and they have not won anything. So it's like, but yeah, Devin Booker to that
and
mix.
And KD's hurt right now.
Ooh boy. Yeah. Like John Paul, Edward Adios, and I said, everybody but Devin Booker. I'm sure you can find DA. You can find an apartment with high ceilings so you don't hit your head. Just bon voyage.
It would hurt seeing baby McHale and the twins go. I would not enjoy that in the slightest.
Yeah,
but
and then you would see Kevin Durant drop 53 on Luka's head in a Suns jersey, and you'd be like, McHale who? Cam who?
That would be wild. That would be insane. I'm interesting to see how this plays out, especially since the trade deadline is six days away. Is it the 9th or the 8th? It's 8th.
Five days away.
So it's going to get crazy, y'all. I hope y'all are ready for some stuff to go down because it's going to be nuts. And I'm even more excited now that Ishbia is going to have control of this team before the deadline than I ever was in the past. Like, I was already hyped for it, but now I'm just like, let's freaking go. Daddy Ishbia, open up the checkbook, get it done, get anything that you can done, and get this team to a place where it can.
Daddy Ishbia is about to be on his Moses type beat. He's about to get this thing, the part of the Red Sea, and just fucking Kyrie Irving is going to come walking through it. I just want Ishbia to take control so we know what's going on.
Yeah, me too. Maybe Ishbia could play some underdog fantasy to help win some money.
He can use
that money to pay some players to get here.
Okay.
Sean,
shit.
What do you think about that strategy?
Why not? It can't hurt. Anything helps. Check it. So, Ishbia, all you got to do is download the Underdog Fantasy app or go to underdogfantasy.com. It's the best fantasy app ever. You deposit $100. Use promo code PHNX. Deposit $100. They'll match it up to $100. I like the pick'em game. When the Suns and Nets play, take everything higher on Kyrie Irving because he's about to show out for his future team. Everything higher on Devin Booker because it's going to be a nice little guard battle. I love the Underdog Fantasy app. It is the best way to. It makes watching sports more fun. It just does.
Yeah.
As Max barks howls in the background.
Watching sports is already fun, but it's 10 times better when you've got some money on the line with Underdog Fantasy.
Yes, as Derek would say, baseball is more fun. Baseball is fun, but it's more fun when you use the Underdog Fantasy app.
This is true.
To make
this
it more
true.
Fun.
This is true.
Check them out.
All right. Let's quickly transition to some cards talk because in a week of highs and lows, learning that Sean Payton is going to coach the Broncos was definitely a low for everyone in the Valley. Yeah, that was a heartbreaker. So it is confirmed, obviously, at this point that Sean Payton will be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. The Broncos traded their 2023 first round pick, which is the 30th overall pick, as well as their 2024 second round pick in exchange for Payton. And they also got the Saints 2024 third round pick back. What was your reaction to hearing this news, Sean?
Well, A, that it wouldn't have taken the fourth, third overall pick for, it wouldn't have taken that. I think the Cardinals have like pick 33 or something like that. Like they have a really early second round pick because the Dolphins lost theirs. So it moves up a little bit. So the cost would not have been too much. I would have been completely happy with what the Cardinals would have had to give it up for him.
As long as they didn't give away their third round pick, or their third overall pick, you would have been fine.
I mean, obviously the Broncos don't have a pick like that, but from the looks of this, it wouldn't have taken that. I mean, it sucks. I think everybody wanted, I think a lot of Cardinals fans wanted D'Amico or wanted Sean Payton. And so with him gone and D'Amico Ryan's gone, with Frank Wright gone, like you're starting to whittle down.
There's not many openings left. There's not many options out there.
I believe we heard a little bit about what might be going on with Brian Flores as well.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
So he's reportedly Vance going Joseph, to be, come on down.
No, we're not going there. He's reportedly going to be making $17 to $20 million a year.
Sign me up. Holy a lot more than he was macaroni. Making at Fox.
That is a lot of freaking money. Obviously, the Broncos have a new ownership group that is the Walton family, so they are not short of funds. But considering they sank a lot of money into a quarterback that did not earn a single dollar of it this past year, that's a lot of money to commit to a coach. Yeah. Would you have wanted the Cardinals to commit that much money to Sean Payton?
Yeah, I would have. Yeah. I would have.
Seeing what the Broncos had to give up and the money that they're paying him, I'm still just as heartbroken as I was when I heard about this news for Cardinals fans because I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just we're getting into a point where you look at the options and none of them are great.
No.
And like I was a big fan. I know this is something that Johnny and Bo have talked about on the PHNX Cardinals show. Like you just want winners. Like you don't want to go get for example, the defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, who had one of the worst defenses in football as your head coach. That seems like a recipe for failure.
Yeah.
Getting a guy who won a Super Bowl and coached one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Getting D'Amico Ryans, who led one of the best defense in football last year, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Like those aren't on the table anymore. So you're getting into a sticky situation. I definitely would pay just about anything to get Sean Payton here.
I will say one of the many appeals that Sean Payton had for me was A, the experience, because I think, you know, you're always taking a flyer no matter how talented or how accomplished an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator is.
Texas D'Amico Ryan's.
You're still taking a flyer on him being a first year head coach. So with that comes growing pains. And I guess maybe you can make the excuse that it was the perfect time to do that because Kyler is going to be out for the foreseeable future as he rehabs his knee injury. So, you know, the growing pains of having a first year head coach wouldn't make as much of a difference because it's not like you're wasting, a year of Kyler Murray's talent because he's still rehabbing. But still, you're taking a flyer on a first-year head coach. But Sean Payton, you know, he's a proven coach who's won a Super Bowl, who has a ton of experience. And I also thought that Sean Payton was the perfect person that could corral Kyler Murray and make sure that everything is going according to plan and Kyler Murray doesn't pull any of the shenanigans that we saw in the past with him and the way that he kind of steamrolled over Cliff Kingsbury. So I was definitely bummed out that obviously the Cardinals did not get Sean Payton. And then, like you mentioned, D'Amico Ryans is the next head coach of the Houston Texans, which obviously makes sense for him because he lives in Houston. So
played for them. Yeah.
The Panthers hired Frank Reich. So there's not a lot of options out left. We've got Indy still looking for a head coach, right? And then the Cardinals still looking for a head coach. And it just came out earlier today that now one of the Cardinals candidates for this head coaching job, Brian Flores, has been linked to possibly becoming the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. Obviously, Sean Payton's first choice for defensive coordinator was Vic Fangio. Mm. And we all know how that relationship deteriorated quite horribly with the Denver Broncos. So Vic Fangio was not really an option, I don't think, ever. I don't think the Broncos outright came out and said, hey, this is kind of awkward. We don't really want our former head coach coming back as a defensive coordinator. But to me, that was never really going to happen or was never an option. And obviously now he's going to be very happy in Miami as their defensive coordinator. But if the Denver Broncos sneak yet another head coach candidate away from the Broncos and hire Brian Flores as their defensive coordinator, not only will I think like what is happening, but like there's no other option at that point. Like we're stuck with Vance Joseph.
I think we would have to have a Anchorman style like brawl with DNVR just on GP, like just on general principle. Like that would be very it would hurt. It'd be a little, you know, twisting of the knife. I have not been entirely sold on the idea of Brian Flores coming here. I'm worried a little bit about his, based on his relationship with Tua.
Yes.
Who is what seems like a very agreeable, like nice guy.
Which milder personality
than Kyler. Especially a Kyler that's going to be fighting back from injury and stuff like that. Yeah. There's probably going to be a little like, because that's one thing you got to understand is a coach is not going to get to install an offense with Kyler Murray like they would want to until next year when he is fully healthy in the offseason. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting situation. Brian Flores, it's just a lot going on with him and obviously the lawsuit, his relationship with Tua, how that would translate to his relationship with Kyler. That worries me. If you're not getting one of these top guys, I almost like the idea of having a defensive guy there so you could just go find an offensive coordinator for Kyler. But it is starting to see there's, you know, whispers, Vance Joseph. I don't know. Because it's getting to a point where you don't have, like, Vance Joseph, not a great option, but I don't know that there's any options better than Vance Joseph, especially if Brian Flores is gone.
Yeah. The Cardinals have also interviewed Mike Kafka from the Giants and then Lou Anarm. That guy from the Bengals, two Bengals coordinators at this point. So I don't know what's happening with the Cardinals, but I'm a little annoyed. I can't be dishonest and say that I'm not because what are we doing? Like, shit, get off the pot. Like, we are
exactly
in the second month of this year. It's February 3rd, and we were one of the teams that knew the earliest that we were going to be searching for a head coach because we moved on from Cliff Kingsbury quite literally as soon as we could on Black Monday. So what are we doing? Like, how have we not figured this out? I just don't understand how the Cardinals had Sean Payton in their facility for
seven hours.
And this is the result. Like, it's just wild to me. And I'm worried about what this means for the Cardinals. Like, D'Amico Ryans, Frank Reich, Sean Payton, all these people that they've pulled in have chosen to go somewhere else. So what is so unappealing about the Cardinals organization that nobody wants to coach here? I mean, is that not what this message sends?
No, I agree. It just, because on its face, the Cardinals job doesn't seem like that bad of a job. I would argue, the Denver situation is just a kind of an odd one because it's a really, really good team minus the most important position in quarterback. and I don't know how much of that was Nathaniel Hackett. Like, what?
A lot of it was Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, so it's a very, you're getting into like a kind of a weird situation there. The Carolina job, I don't understand why that's attractive at all, to be honest with you. That's where Frank Reich decided to go, although his daughter also works there, so that's weird. That's a whole other situation. Now you're in a situation where everybody's getting their pick of the litter, and you're like, okay, I guess I just got to take whatever. Like, you're getting leftovers. You're getting scraps. John Paul Edward Adio said what I was thinking. It's the common denominator here is the Bidwells. Yeah. It's Michael Bidwell and company. So
I'm just like, I'm so frustrated because like, I want to say I didn't see this coming, but at the same time, I feel like I did see this coming.
Because like, seen it coming.
The fact that the Cardinals are, there was only five teams that were going into the offseason in search of a head coach. So already the market was very, very small. Yeah. Last season, comparatively, there were 10. So there were double the vacancies last year as there are this year. So already I was a little nervy because the options were limited, but then you add into the fact that, it seems like anytime there's an option for the Cardinals, they get passed over and the person that they are like interested in would rather go to another team. So I don't want to say it just sucks. Like I don't want to make inaccurate conjectures about why I think that's happening. Obviously, I don't know for sure why that's happening, but from an outsider looking in perspective, you look at things that have happened in the past that are very public knowledge, like Kyler Murray being upset with this organization, the homework clause fiasco, you know, Bidwell's reputation around the league. Like, is the job just that unappealing that and people would go anywhere else. Like, you're telling me D'Amico Ryans would rather be the head coach of the Houston Texans than the Arizona Cardinals. I know that he lives there. I get it that there's like that connection, but come on.
I mean, I think that one is particularly like that one's a tough example because I do think he might like his wife lives in Houston. Like I think that is interesting. But in general,
but like on paper, though, the job, like if you're out all the external factors and you 100%. Just look at the job on paper, the Cardinals job is 10 times more appealing than the Houston Texans job.
The Cardinals to me are like a really attractive person who have a bunch of like minor red flags where if they had like one individual, it'd be like, all right, I can look past that. But you put them all together and you're like, ah, there's something going on there. I don't know if I want to even get involved. Like, I feel like it's starting to be like a reputation thing. You see people turning down the job and it's like, oh, well, the interview wasn't that bad, but why are they all turning? Like, am I missing something here? And you start like,
Gaslighting yourself.
Literally.
Trying to figure out what's happening.
It is just kind of a reputation. And I think it is little things. Like, even if Kyler is being used as a scapegoat, like, there are legitimate concerns about Kyler Murray from, like, his talent perspective, what he does as a football player, his attitude.
He's
like
those, so unproven.
Those are legitimate concerns with him.
Are we forgetting he hasn't won a single playoff game?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and their record at home. Like, he wasn't hurt for most of last year. Like, and it wasn't great. So there's a lot of things. You're in a position where you might not believe in a quarterback, but you can't really draft one. I think on paper, when you look at it from the outside, you got nice weather. You got, you know, what it seems to be like the best quarterback, I think, out of any of these teams that we're looking for a coach. But it's not a great quarterback. So it's like, it's just a really odd situation.
Yeah.
I just hope that
I'm just tired of the Cardinals being the bridesmaid and not the bride, you know?
Yeah. But this is now, you got to hope you're like the Buffalo Bills, for example, who they didn't go get a big name guy.
Yeah.
They got a coordinator and it worked out. You have to hope the Suns are now in a position where, unless it's Vance Joseph, they're going to hire somebody that you might not know too much about. And you got to hope that Monty just did it right. Right. Yeah. Like, so it's just a very unsettling situation. Even if everything goes right, it's very unsettling time to be a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Unsettling is a good way to describe it. I will say, before we move on, I am still on the anybody but VJ train. I don't know if it's just because I'm scorned, because I've seen what VJ is as a head coach, and it's not good in my opinion, but I would still prefer literally any one of these coordinators that the Cardinals have interviewed over Vance Joseph as the next head coach. I'm sorry.
I do not want homie from the Lions, Glenn Wright, the defensive coordinator for the Lions. I have no interest in anything from that organization. That is a losing franchise. But the Cardinals are as well, to be quite honest. So I'm with you. I don't want Vance Joseph to be the head coach, but I do think we're getting to a point where they're not going to have a whole lot of options. Plus, yeah. I may or may not have taken a future on Vance Joseph to be the head coach of the Cardinals on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. So I guess I'm trying to speak it into existence.
Yeah. Charlie Bush in the comments asking us thoughts on Brian Flores. We kind of already talked about it a little bit, but to recap, I don't think either of us are really sold on Brian Flores as an option as head coach, just because of his relationship with Tua, the lawsuit against the NFL. Like, it just seems like inviting more drama into an organization that's the last thing that they need. And I'm not, again, he would be a flyer. You're taking a lot of risk with having him as your first as a head coach. So, although if it's Brian Flores compared to Vance Joseph, then sign me up, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing you have to hang your hat on if you're a Cardinals fan is the fact that Monty Ossenfort has come from winning organizations.
Yeah.
He was with, I believe he was with the Titans when they hired Mike Vrabel, like, which ended up being, I think, a great hire.
I agree.
Although they haven't really won anything, but I don't think that's necessarily his fault. Like, you just have to hope, like, I mean, Albert brings up Nick Sirianni and the Eagles. I already brought up the Bills, Brandon Bean hiring Sean
Brian
McDermott.
Callahan, someone said.
Yeah, so like, there's plenty of situations where this goes well. So you just got to hope that this is one of them.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. It's all you got right now if you're a Cardinals fan is hope.
Hold on to that hope, baby. Hopefully we have an answer soon. Just want them to find their guy and for this whole coaching search drama to be over and for us to head off into the offseason knowing who our head coach is going to be.
Same.
The DraftKings Sportsbook app, you guys. It's time to download that app. Use promo code PHNX when you sign up and bet on the Super Bowl. Yeah. I love betting on the Super Bowl. I specifically love the props that come along with it.
You know what an octopus is?
A what?
An octopus?
No.
It is the best single
creature.
Prop. Well, yes. It's the single best prop of all time. It's when a player scores a touchdown and then scores the ensuing 2-point conversion. It's like plus 1,400. We had an opportunity at it last year in the Super Bowl. It didn't happen, but there was a chance. So there's fun stuff. You get to bet on the coin toss, the Gatorade color.
Yeah, the coin toss. The Gatorade color is my favorite one. I normally go for orange because I feel like that's like a safe bet. I'm going to go with red this year.
I don't think it's ever been red before.
I feel like this is the year.
Hey, why not? It's in Arizona. It's in the Cardinal Stadium.
Yeah.
I also like
Anthem Time.
Anthem Time. Betting on who the Super Bowl MVP is going to thank first, whether it's family, team, God. Yep. Yeah.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, that's why you can get really into the weeds with it. Break it down. See, like, is Patrick Mahomes really religious? Bet on him to thank God first. Is he like he loves his family? Bet on him to thank his family first.
Oh God, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm never bringing up my family in the public light ever again.
You're Patrick Mahomes. You think Patrick Mahomes is going to win the MVP? Don't bet on family because it seems like he fucking hates him. So stay away from it, you know?
If you want to bet on the Anthem Time, though, I definitely recommend taking the over because Chris Stapleton is singing the anthem and that man can sing.
Yeah, I feel like he likes to put a little, like, go listen to Tennessee Whiskey and tell me you shouldn't take the over.
Yeah. Yeah, do that. Listen to Tennessee Whiskey and then come back. just kidding. Don't leave us. If you want to build any of these super fun parlays, betting on props or whatever else during the Super Bowl, you can do so on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code PHNX. New customers can bet just $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code PHNX. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. Sorry, Ohio.
I hate Ohio.
I hate Ohio, too. God, I hate Ohio. Oh, the men that come from Ohio are the worst.
I don't know anything about the men from Ohio. Shout out Joe Burrow, though.
I don't think he's from... Oh, yeah, he's from Ohio. I lied. Yeah, he totally is. I lied. He is from Ohio. But Joey B is the exception. If you're Joey B.
What about LeBron James?
I hate LeBron James. I'm not an LeBron James girl. I'm an MJ girl. All right. We got to go on a high, though, for the football in the state of Arizona. Jaden Rashada. Oh, my God. Is he the savior that the Arizona State Sun Devils need?
Fucking right, baby.
He is a former 5-star recruit, but he's listed as a high 4-star recruit right now. He's ranked 44th in the recruit class of 2023. He's the 6th overall quarterback, according to 247 Sports. This is exciting. I'm pumped about this.
As am I, DJ Mackey P. I don't care, obviously, but he could never play a snap in a Sun Devil uniform. And he could be terrible. That doesn't really, at this point, matter all that much to me. Because Kenny Dillingham, on his 66th day of having his job as a head coach of Arizona State football, got one of the best recruits in Arizona State football history. In two months, a guy that was apparently asking for $13, $14 million in NIL deals at Florida came to ASU, and I'm going to go out on limits. ASU does not have that kind of money. It is so emblematic of the transformation that this program has gone through over the last 2 months. Mm-hmm. It is, if you're a Sun Devil fan, it fucking activated, bro. Kenny has activated me to the max. It is hard not to be. It's hard not to be ecstatic if you're a Sun Devil fan.
Yeah, Sean is activated. He is ready. I am obviously, if you know me and listen to the show, I am a cautiously pessimistic, sometimes optimistic Sun Devil fan. It is super great to see something like as high profile as a commit as this commit to Arizona State. He had committed in the past in Miami and then Florida, but he kind of had some issues with NIL. Why are you laughing?
I just love Drewford. Oh, how I don't like you goofy ass, crusty ass nobodies either. Ha ha.
Thanks, Drewford. So nice.
Fucking, hey, I may be goofy, I may be ass,
but
and I may be a nobody,
Ohio,
but
so.
I'm not crusty, okay? And I also don't live in the state of Ohio.
We also don't live in Ohio because only crusty nobodies live in Ohio.
And Joe Burrow.
And Joe Burrow.
And Jamar Chase.
But yeah, I mean, for some reason, I'm just having a hard time being as excited about this as I feel like I should be because the quarterback room is full. Like, we don't need any more quarterbacks.
What?
I don't know. Like, I don't want to get overhyped about this because I feel like I do this to myself every single year. Like, when Jaden came here, I was like, oh, my God, this is so exciting. And then flop.
Like I said, who gives a shit if it's a flop, though? That's not what this is about at this point, in my opinion. It's about the fact that Kenny even got a guy like this here.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, So, but plus it's an embarrassment of riches at the quarterback room. You got a guy that's won games at Notre Dame, your returning starting quarterback, a local product who transferred in from BYU, who's an unproven commodity. Oh, and a former five-star recruit, high four-star recruit. Like, you can't get excited. What? I feel like if anything, I'm getting too excited. I'm ready to explode. Yeah. I think it is. I don't think there's any negatives to this.
It does. It says a lot about Kenny's ability to recruit, which I think everyone kind of had a question mark surrounding because he's never been a head coach before. And he's also the youngest head coach in NCAA.
Yeah, but I think that's the benefit. I think him and the guy, his staff, Brian Carrington, Rashad Samples, like these guys, these young guys are can relate to players like nobody else in the country. I think the ASU might have some, like the best recruiting core in all of college football. It is just it's unbelievable. It's just head to toe. This program is in a completely different place than it was 70 days ago.
Yeah.
Like it's chef's kiss.
I mean, considering the size of the task that Kenny had to take on coming here, he had nobody on this roster.
Not only did he not have anybody, he also had he had support. The program had no support before he got here. Like, people were checked out on ASU football by and large.
Yeah.
And
it was the biggest undertaking to become the head coach of this program, considering the recruiting violations. There was no one on this roster. The negativity surrounding the program. Just, it was a monster of a task. And I feel like Kenny, if anything I can say, has done a complete 180 for this program. His whole Activate the Valley stance and signal call to the entire Valley of Arizona, like the job that he's done recruiting and building back like this roster, like he has done a really, really good job. And I think he's put to rest a lot of the questions that people had criticizing him or had coming into this just through the job that he's done so far. So obviously the trajectory as of now is very positive. I have yet to buy in steak, but I'm hoping that they will prove me wrong and I can buy some steak in this team a little bit later.
Nope. Get on or get run over. Buy in now or
I'm not getting on another train. I'm done with trains. The trains are done. I am scarred and I will not get on another train ever again.
Yeah, you're not gonna be able to catch up. I'm telling you. Like, listen, I was a guy who, as much as I love Kenny, I thought he was like a little corny, to be honest. When he started, I was like 40,000 people at the spring game. I don't know about all that. Now I do. Like, I'm all the way in. I don't care if he's corny. Like, I'm all about it. This was an undertaking. Like, you needed somebody who lived, breathed, loved Arizona State, and this, you got that guy. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I just. Can't. And also, like, we talking about generically, Jalen Rashada, good chance he's a pretty damn good quarterback. Like, there is a pretty good chance he's really good at football. He was a five-star for a reason.
Yeah,
he was getting recruited by Miami and Florida and, TCU, who was just at the national championship Tennessee. For a reason.
Yeah.
It's going to be. And also, Kenny's the quarterback whisperer. He turned Bo Nix into a Heisman candidate. Like,
crazy.
There might be some magic down by mill.
Electric. To be determined.
Saying, the magic man.
What's not to be determined, though, is how amazing Bad Birdie Gear is. That is an undisputable fact. If you want to look good on the golf course, you got to get some Bad Birdie Gear. They have the best golf gear in the state of Arizona, honestly, anywhere, to be honest, because they ship nationwide. It's so good. They have men's gear. They have they have women's golf gear. They've got hats. They've got gloves. They've got sweatshirts. They've got sweatpants. They've got anything you need to look your best on the golf course. And I'm telling you guys, it is worth every penny. But if you want to save some of your coin, you can use promo code PHNX_sports15 for 15% off your entire order at badbirdiegolf.com. That code is still good on even sale items. The Waste Management Open is almost here.
Get fitted up.
If you're going to be out there, you better be rocking some Bad Birdie gear, because if you are going to compete with the rest of those guys on the golf course and you want to look good, you got to do it wearing Bad Birdie. That's for
listen,
sure.
I mean, you could be terrible at golf, but you'll look good at least.
Yeah.
No one will know. No, you don't got to post your score when you post on Instagram. You just got to, they'll see the fit and they'll just assume you're good at golf because you look good.
Before we talk about this last thing, that is definitely an interesting topic. I feel like I need to dig in OGs because the only way that we're going to be talking about this is if I'm high, because it makes me a little concerned. the way we're going to get through this is with OGs. Yes. And the best way to do it is by taking their brand new strawberries and cream CBD THC 1-to-1 ratio. They have called it their happy balance for a reason. It does, in fact, make you happy. And the strawberries and cream flavor, oh, to die for. It has officially surpassed their orange creamsicle flavor as favorite flavor in the OG's line.
Never thought I'd hear you say that.
I know.
Like that.
I've been an orange creamsicle girl from the beginning, but the strawberries and cream is so good.
I'm still trying to get my hands on some. Max has been holding on me.
I know. Max is holding out on us because he doesn't want us to get too addicted to them. But you have to check out your local dispensary. Strawberries and cream is hitting the shelf soon. As always, you can find them at any local dispensary, but you must be 21 years or older to enjoy.
Before we get to baseball, we should talk. We got a super chat.
Do it.
RV Davey, why not reach out to Jeff Fisher for head coach? Why not? I think he's coaching in the XFL or something like that.
Why not at this point?
But I mean, shit, you might as well interview me, Bidwell. Like, what?
Oh, he's coming.
Yeah, so Fisher's in the USFL. Maybe he likes it over there. I don't know. I honestly wouldn't hate it, though. I love Jeff Fisher. He is the picture of at least he's like a white Mike Tomlin. You're at least going 500. You can guarantee that. So I'll take it. I'll take that anytime.
You know, I'm not maybe as excited about that as you are. I feel like maybe at
over
that
Vance
point,
Joseph.
He's coaching in the USFL for a reason.
He wasn't. He was an NFL head coach.
I know, but he isn't anymore.
You would rather have Vance Joseph?
Yes.
Stop it. Stop
yes.
it.
Yes, I would.
Stop it.
Yes, I would. At least Vance Joseph has been in the NFL more recently.
I would rather have Jeff Fisher. I love that man. He's an awesome. He's an awesome dude. He was coaching in St. Louis. No one can win in St. Louis.
He does have a great mustache. I will give him that.
He does have a great, great stash.
But no, I think I will take Vance Joseph over that option.
And I also realized I said no one can win in St. Louis. Fucking Kurt Warner.
Yeah, Gilbert Arbayo saying he's going 7-9 in the minor leagues. I'm assuming that refers to the USFL. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good down there. I am glad. Albert saying I would need OGs if Fisher was coach. Thank you. Everyone has some.
I'm gonna go.
On,
you're gonna
this,
need OGs.
Comment section.
You're probably gonna need OGs with whoever they hire because it's not gonna be good.
All right. Let's talk about baseball really quick. Going in with a high, the D-backs received some positive feedback for their offseason grades. They got a nice little B+. Which, considering the fact that there's only 5 teams ahead of them, that's pretty good if you ask me.
And look at those 5 teams.
Yeah.
It is New York City, Philadelphia, the Texas Rangers, who just have all the money, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Los Angeles and Atlanta. You got 5 massive market teams ahead of your cute little Arizona Diamondbacks.
And I don't really count the Angels as a team because they're wasting 2 generational talents currently.
Dude,
and they
shit.
Cannot figure it out. So I don't really count the Angels. But... yeah, it's definitely a good sign to see. They obviously made a few moves in the offseason, bringing in Evan Longoria. Mm-hmm. We can roll down the list of all the things that they've done.
Kevin Moreno, Lourdes Gurriel.
Yep, all the good stuff. And I've been a pretty big fan of this offseason for them. I knew kind of going into it there weren't going to be any crazy flashy moves, any big time acquisitions, because it just doesn't match their timeline right now. There's no need to bring in a superstar ace pitcher or a big bat in the lineup.
We're in the mix for Xander, apparently. So,
I'm glad they did not.
As am I. I'm 100% with you on that.
But yeah, so I'm very happy with that for the D-backs. I think it just reaffirms the fact that they are building towards a really big, bright future, and it's like coming. Like, we're almost there. Like, I think we have to get through this season. I still think they're going to be very competitive this season, and possibly, you know, we may
wild
see like
team?
A playoff wild card.
Maybe.
Team.
Maybe.
But I think long-term success is coming, and I think it's going to really, really start shining next season, not this one that's coming up, but the season after that. And this just continues to reaffirm that Mike Hazen is building a team that is going to be successful, in my opinion. And I really think that this has a lot of good upside coming for them.
100%.
But we got to talk about these jerseys and the sponsorship patches that the Diamondbacks announced. The Diamondbacks dropped these things yesterday. Avnet is the new sponsor for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
What? Who? And that sounds like something you would hear in a video game. Is like this like nondescript company that kind of like rules the world.
Yeah. So I have never heard of Avnet before yesterday. But apparently they are an electronics component company. Couldn't tell you anything about that or what
that
means.
What does that mean? What the fuck does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
They have headquarters here in Phoenix. Apparently, one's right across the street from us, and they have one in Chandler too. Never heard of them before. Have no idea what they do. Electronic components, I guess, would high quality semiconductors, an electronic component distributor. Basically nerds. A bunch of nerds work there.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of them before. But now I know of them because they put this ginormous, heinous thing on a sleeve of
I don't understand these things. Because you got like the Orlando Magic, who have Disney, the Los Angeles Clippers had Bumble for a while. Like things that normal people would be interested in. I have never once been at a Diamondbacks game and be like, shit, I wish I knew somewhere I could get a really good semiconductor right now. What? Who is this for? How much money are they having to spend on this giant ugly ass patch on the side of a jersey?
I don't
that
know.
That no one knows. I've never heard of you. And I get that's kind of the point. But like
what? I also don't understand the advertising play. Like, who, like, what random baseball fan is sitting in the stands looking at that Avnet like, patch and be like, you know what? I need a semiconductor.
Exactly. Maybe I'm wrong. Shout out Superfan Chris, season ticket holder. Like, have you ever, Chris, have you ever been in a game being like, damn, I really need some electronic components right now? What?
Like, what audience is, I mean, I guess maybe it's working because we're talking about it and we've never heard of this place before and now we're just talking about Avnet all day.
Now I know what Avnet is? Sure. I'm still never going to buy an electric component from them. Like, what? Who was this for?
I don't know. I could not tell you that, especially considering that the Arizona Diamondbacks demographic is like families, like younger. They're trying to get a younger crowd in there with their student discount tickets. Like,
I'm just about to say something that's going to piss me off, I feel like.
No, I just understand Avnet a little bit more. Just,
yeah, because you're a nerd.
Yes, I'm.
And by a nerd, engineering school.
Yeah, so distributor as in like it's more towards like computer building, etc. So it's components that go towards something else.
But why would I, your average baseball fan,
you wouldn't
give
you wouldn't
a shit.
You wouldn't, and that's why I'm also confused.
Okay.
Because coming from an engineer who has ordered parts to build something, baseball and that, what the fuck do they have to do?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like if you are the kind of person that needs this, you already know where to get your semiconductors.
But also,
and
Emma, can you bring the picture of this monstrosity back? Like, if we're gonna do this route and we're gonna get sponsorships on jerseys, why does it have to be so large?
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so I understand.
That's not something I say very often, but why does it have to be so large?
Bro, what?
Like, why? I don't understand. It's a gigantic patch on the sleeve of a jersey. Like, could we not have made it smaller and put it, like, maybe on, like, the front or
something? We're going to address that comment once the show is over because I'm not letting you get away with that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyways.
Like, why? It's huge. It takes up the whole sleeve.
Stop saying those words, Mac. Stop saying it because you know someone's going to take that out of context. So stop saying the words.
I didn't mean it that way.
I know you didn't mean it that way, but it sounded that way. What are we doing?
So red. I did not mean it that way.
Anyways, going back to the patch, the thing I understand that part of it is to, like, make it stick out. From from Avnet's perspective,
it's so unnecessary.
Listen, why
the PayPal patch on the Suns, like, little circle that size?
That's what I'm saying. They sent it. It's like someone meant to send the PNG and they accidentally sent the JPEG and they're like, I don't know how to get,
like,
this background
put
off
it on
here.
A patch and
you could
it
have taken the blackout and put it on there. The thing I do like a lot about it is it is exactly the Diamondbacks colors, so it doesn't, like, throw it off all that much.
I
like
hate
it was
it
weird,
so
like a yellow
so
Bumble logo on the Clippers jersey. But yeah, I hate it. Like, what's up? If you're going to do something like I am not the kind of person that has a problem with on jersey sponsorships. I think people always like to make a big deal out of it and then they end up not really caring when it happens.
I think it can cross the line. Like, if you look at soccer kits, I think it's horrible. Like, horrible.
It depends on where you Yeah. But
they have like 80 billion different things, like before eight, like it's so unnecessary. Soccer kits are disgusting. But yeah. I don't mind, like, the PayPal thing on the Sun jersey, I don't mind. Like, I just don't want to see, like, a NASCAR driver suit with 80 different sponsors on it when I'm watching a freaking baseball game. Like, and that thing is horrible.
Listen, you just shit on soccer and marketing, so you know Max was just had to be around.
I'm an avid soccer hater. I think it's a useless sport.
Okay,
you were getting a scholarship for the fucking sport, Matt. What are we talking about? You were going to play college soccer.
We're glazing over it. Anyway, it's a horrible patch, and I'm going to be angry sitting in the stands watching Diamondbacks games, seeing that thing on their arm.
Yeah, ultimately, like, yeah, like I was saying, I'm not a jersey spot, I don't really care, but this I think is pushing it a little too far. I feel like the sponsor, if you're going to do it, it should fit like kind of the vibe. Like this is a very family oriented team. The families go out to the games. Why not get something that appeals to that demographic a little more?
Yeah.
Obviously, I probably don't know what the hell I'm talking about. They've, I'm sure, done market research, all this stuff. But it just, on its face, for the average fan, doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think it's a good deal for the team or the company. I think
well,
the company's
shit.
Just...
the team probably doesn't care. They're probably making all
this
money.
Yeah, the team's like, great, give us your money. But the poor company is just not going to see any return mm-hmm. on that. I don't know what their KPIs are.
Marketing. as long as the jerseys that you buy in the store don't have this patch on,
no, they won't. There's no reason to put it on the jerseys.
It's ugly, but ultimately, the D-backs have more money to spend on the bullpen. So.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the bullpen, really quick before we close out the show, so if you scroll up in the comments, Emma, everyone was kind of talking a little bit about the offseason acquisition, saying that they're still concerned about the bullpen. The 100%. Bullpen hasn't been fixed. They need more relief pitchers. I definitely am not arguing with you on there. Fix the bullpen, please. D-backs just need one solid bat and a relief pitcher. The ones last year were terrible. I totally agree. I also don't think Madison Bumgarner should ever see a baseball again in his entire life.
Oh, I don't have a problem with it, but he should be coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I agree. I'm tired of seeing Madison Bumgarner as a starter. So there definitely are some adjustments that still need to be made. I'm not saying that this team is 100% ready and perfect.
But it was the right step.
But
the offseason was a good step.
Yeah, I think they did a lot of good things for where they're at, and they were realistic with their timeline, which is all I asked for because I was terrified. The one thing I was the most scared about was of them making another dumb deal, like a Greinke-sized deal or a Madison Bumgarner deal,
they
whatever.
Did,
I just did not want to go down that road again, so I'm glad that they didn't do it because that would have just made me extremely irrationally angry. Connor Brum saying they might NBA jerseys have a sponsored patch for fan jerseys now. I just don't see them putting that on the jerseys that they
Something
sell the fans.
That large, I have a hard time believing that.
I really think it, I mean, I know that you can negotiate in this type of deal. You can negotiate just having it on the player jerseys. So I hope that that's the route that they took and they did not include the jerseys the fans buy. I know like every deal is different and I don't know for sure or not what that deal is, but I will cry if they put that on the jerseys.
Because you get one of those. It looks like something they hand out as like a giveaway where it has like the sponsor like brought to you by Fries and there's like a Fries logo on the sleeve.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like when they have like those little free giveaways and it's just like, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. So fingers crossed they didn't do that. But oh boy, we made it, Sean. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
What?
I'm stoked for this weekend. I am going to sleep all weekend before crazy week hits next week. And we are at the Super Bowl all week on Radio Row, which we are super excited for. If you guys are interested in that coverage, make sure you go subscribe to the PHNX Cardinals podcast because they're going to be on Radio Row for Super Bowl Monday through Friday. It's going to be a great time. I'm going to be sleeping maybe 2 hours a week. But it's going to be fine. It's going to be so fun.
Working in sports.
You have any fun plans this weekend, Sean?
NHL All-Star Game on Saturday.
There you go.
Watching that. Sunday, I might get my second day off in the last...
Nice.
How old am I? 24 years.
Days off.
So I'm probably going to take some OGs and just vibe. But tomorrow, I'm looking forward to watching some hockey and some ASU basketball.
Yeah.
By the way, stick around on YouTube. About 28 minutes from now, PHNX Sun Devils, me and Totri live right here on PHNX YouTube.
They've got
Check
a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. Everyone in the comments, Charlie Ruiz, Ryan, Connor, Aaron Lee, Santana, Jan, you guys are the absolute best. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you all have a wonderful and safe weekend. And don't forget, we'll be live again next Friday at 12:30. And we will see you then. Bye.